Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show on this Wednesday, July 29th. I have to think about this. This month is moving so quickly. We've only got a couple of days left in July. Today we're going to be joined by Steve Quayle in the third hour. We're going to have an interview with him. We're also going to have some special reports from Paul Joseph Watson. A lot of news today. There is a successful move beginning in California to recall Senator Pan, the doctor who took away informed consent with his bill and bragged about the fact that he wasn't going to stop there in California and he was going to take that across the United States. We're going to talk about that in detail because you know what? That affects everyone. This is a movement that began all at once. Just as we talk about Agenda 21, just as we see with the UN War on Drugs, that was a group of schedules that was created by the UN, just like Agenda 21. They created the War on Drugs, gave it four schedules, and 10 years later, Richard Nixon got it enacted verbatim. We talked about that before, about the American Legislative Exchange Council, where they write local state laws and get them pass this form over to the state legislators. All they have to do is fill in the blanks as to which state it is, make sure that it gets passed, and they get some nice little gifts like that. Same thing happening with vaccines. This is a time for people to stand up and get angry and to pay attention to the people who are selling out our freedom, who are selling us down the river, who are destroying this country economically. Here's an article up on Infowars.com. Here's the politicians who were paid to make GMO labeling illegal, despite 90% of the people wanting this labeling. And again, when they talk about it being the Safe and Accurate Labeling Act, prohibiting states and localities from saying we want to know if genetically modified food is in this processed product. Why wouldn't we want to know that? This is an open-ended question. This is something, genetic modification of everything, of our food, of our animals, is progressing at a very, very rapid rate. We talked about that yesterday. Why would we not want to know if that sort of thing is in our food? And again, there's a lot of different ways that that's been fought. They've spent millions, tens of millions of dollars in referenda at the state levels. They've typically lost when it's been done at the local level. Does that tell you something? Does that tell you that you can get change done at the local level that you can't get done at the federal level, at the state level? And of course, that's why they move this to the national level. They can get it done in America because Monsanto owns a lot of legislators in the United States. They don't own that many people in other countries. So that's why we've got things like the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TTIP, the Transatlantic Partnership. They're going to make sure that in countries where they have put restrictions, put labeling on GMO, made some of these additives illegal, they're going to make sure that that is removed. That's one of the reasons that they're putting this in. It's not about free trade. It is about controlled crony capitalism. That's why they won't show you the legislation. Some other news coming out, of course. Yesterday, the Chinese stock markets plummeted again. Another huge drop. And this happened not that long ago. Remember, we had a massive drop on a Monday. Now this has happened again. Markets are very shaky. And the question is, when you see that, and we said that at the time, yes, they recovered with a great deal of government intervention. Is it a dead cat bounce when that happens? Perhaps it is. So we're going to be talking about economic news today. The Fed is going to be having their pontification meeting. Everybody's going to be watching Janet Yellen to see if there's white smoke coming out of the meeting, to see if rates are going to be rising. So we'll take a look at that. We're also going to take a look at a very special piece of crony capitalism just for the bankers. You won't believe this one. I didn't know about this myself. It's been there since the creation of the Federal Reserve. An incredible piece of set aside. Talk about crony capitalism. Talk about corporate welfare. Of course, that's what happens. They get away with that while Greece goes down the tubes and the rest of us as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Fox.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show on this Wednesday, July 29th, 2015. I'm David Knight, your host. Steve Quayle is going to be joining us later in the show in the third hour. We also have special reports from Paul Joseph Watson. We're going to be looking in detail at crony capitalism, a special piece of crony capitalism that I was never aware of, a special little dividend that they've been giving banks for 100 years. Also today, we're going to see whether or not Janet Yellen is going to decide to raise the interest rates. We all wait with bated breath to see how they're going to manipulate the economy. They're doing such a good job of that. But before we start all of that, I want to take a look at the media frenzy around Cecil the Black-Maned Lion. There are a raft of reports. And of course, Drudge always has his thumb on the zeitgeist of the media. You can see a ton of these reports up at the linked at the top of the Drudge Report. Here's some of the headlines. Jimmy Kimmel chokes up on air over Cecil the Lion. He likens the hunter who killed him to Bill Cosby. Zimbabwean officials say an American man is wanted in the killing of Cecil the Lion. The Daily Mail says the hunter hunted. An American dentist who paid $55,000 to kill off Africa's most famous lion goes into hiding and says he did nothing wrong as Zimbabwe police demand to speak to him. A coward and a killer, they say. Protesters target his office, his surgery office, after he admits to doing this. So we see these headlines everywhere. I want to play you a little bit of a clip that was on CNN. Let's play that first clip, guys.
It's alleged that Walter Parman, this dentist from Minnesota, was in Zimbabwe on the border regions of this park, and that him and the guides lured or baited this lion, this iconic lion, Cecil, from Hwange National Park out of the park.
So you hear that? They lured or baited him. Does that sound familiar? We just had Abby Hoffman on yesterday talking about the practices in Planned Parenthood, where she was a manager, an employee of the year before she resigned. She was concerned that people were being lured and baited. Women were being lured and baited in there on the promise of family planning, but they were given quotas to sell abortions. That's a different kind of bait and switch, isn't it? But we can't get that upset about human babies. We can save the baby whales, but we can't save the baby humans. And there's this massive media frenzy about Cecil the Lion. One more clip. Let's play that next clip.
He shot him with a crossbow, but that crossbow didn't kill the lion outright. They tracked, according to conservation officials, that lion for 40 hours and then killed it with a weapon of some kind. And then they severed the head as a trophy.
There you go. Concern about, and rightful concern, I will say. I'm not trashing the fact that people are concerned that this was perhaps done illegally, that the animal suffered a great deal of time. I don't have the problem with hunting that a lot of people do. I think that's a perfectly legitimate thing. But, of course, a lot of people want to stop all hunting. Nevertheless, understand that they say, well, he shot him. It took a very long time for him to die, so he's suffering. That's what Abby Johnson said yesterday. First of all, there were two things. The quotas that disturbed her, and then the final thing that caused her to resign immediately was when she saw an ultrasound of a fetus recoiling in pain from the procedure. The babies are ripped apart, and we don't have any concern about that, but we're concerned that it took extra time for this lion to die. And then they took his head as a trophy. What is Planned Parenthood doing with the babies that they kill? That's precisely the point in these videos that we see over and over again. Here's an article from InfoWars.com. Planned Parenthood demands that the media not air damning footage. This came out yesterday from Don Salazar here at InfoWars.com. The material, they say, should not be aired. They're telling local news outlets. Let me read to you a long interview that's on Salon with Camille Paglia. And again, yesterday she had some very good, candid remarks. She's a straight shooter. I don't agree with her on a lot of things, but she is very straight up with what she has to say. We read her comments yesterday about Hillary Clinton. This is what she says about the media, of course. She's talking about how controlled the media was. She said the rise of Rush Limbaugh on conservative talk radio came about precisely because of the lockdown of a very small clique of people on the media that had a liberal bias, but she said she was a liberal and she couldn't get access in that media. They completely shut her out. And she said, let me give you a recent example of the persistent insularity of the liberal thought in the media. She said, when the first secret Planned Parenthood video was released in mid-July, anyone who looks only at liberal media was kept totally in the dark about it. Even the second video, when it was released, same thing happened. But the videos were being run nonstop all over conservative talk radio shows and on television. It was a huge and disturbing story, but there was total silence in the liberal media. Yes, what they are demanding today from local media outlets trying to intimidate them. She says, this is Camille Paglia again, a liberal feminist. She said that kind of censorship was shockingly unprofessional. The liberal major media were trying to bury the story by ignoring it. Now they're demanding that people ignore it. I'll add, going back to her, she says, I am a former member of Planned Parenthood and a strong supporter of unconstrained reproductive rights. But I was horrified and disgusted by those videos and immediately felt there were serious breaches of medical ethics in the conduct of Planned Parenthood officials. Here's my point. It is everyone's obligation, whatever your political views, to look at both liberal and conservative news sources every single day. You need a full range of viewpoints to understand what's going on in this world. Absolutely right. Again, she is strongly supporting abortion. She sees it as reproductive rights. I strongly disagree. I see it as killing innocent human life. But we both agree that you need to look at a broad spectrum of media, form your own opinions, go to people who will honestly tell you what they think. Look, this whole nonsense about journalism being disinterested and being honest, anybody that is selling you that is selling you a lie. Either they're stupid enough that they don't recognize their own biases, or they're being dishonest with you about their own biases, okay? Even what they report, which is what she's talking about here, even what they choose to report is influenced by their own personal opinions. So there is no objective media. There is media out there that will tell you what they think. We're part of that media. We will tell you what we think. You may disagree with us. We'll make our best case for it. But we are not going to tell you that we're sitting here disinterested, sitting in the middle. Well, on this hand, we have this, and on this hand, we have that. Yeah, we'll give you both sides of it, and then we'll form an opinion, tell you what we think, help you to form your opinion. There is no disinterested media. Anybody that tells you that is an idiot or they're lying. Now, in terms of the other things that came out of that interview yesterday with Abby Johnson, and again, her website is abortionworker.com. We had an article that went up yesterday evening highlighting one of the things that she told us, which I was absolutely amazed to find out, that Planned Parenthood here in Austin has a $1 a year lease on a 7,000 square foot facility that they're performing their abortions at. They have a $1 a year lease from our city. Our city of Austin is subsidizing that facility. They have a 20-year lease, $1 a year. And so we put that article up because you may not be aware that that is happening in your area. Here's an article from WND. Women are betrayed. There's protests in 65 U.S. cities across the United States. An estimated 12,000 Americans in as many as 65 U.S. cities took to the streets on Tuesday to demand an end to federal funding of Planned Parenthood. Do not make me pay for this. I find the practice abhorrent. It is a violation of my religious beliefs. Do not force me to pay for this. Something this controversial, if it is even going to exist, we can have this discussion, should not be funded by the federal government. It should not be funded by taxes. And so these people are demanding an end to federal funding of Planned Parenthood, but maybe you don't understand that there's probably state and city and local subsidies of Planned Parenthood. So you need to investigate that. I was not aware of that here in Austin as well. And again, one more article that's up on Infowars.com came out today. As Senate moves to defund Planned Parenthood, sponsors are scrambling to disassociate themselves from these abortionists. They say the companies are now, they had this list of direct subsidies from various corporations that was up on their site. Everybody is demanding to be taken off of that. They don't want to be associated with that. It's not to say they won't still give them the money. They'll find some way to do it. And we have amazing list of companies and organizations, companies like Freddie Mae, Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae. But nevertheless, they are federal mortgage companies, and they are contributing money. And when they were called on it, they said, well, we have a matching a policy where we match our employees' donations, and so we can't not do that. Yes, you can. You make the policies. You make the policies. You can change the policies. But we have a federal agency that is out there to help to provide affordable housing, affordable mortgages. That's their stated purpose. Of course, they were very deep in all of this fraud that was perpetrated on everyone with their home mortgages. They were getting massive bonuses, the heads of these federal organizations, massive bonuses for making junk loans. So don't be surprised that a federal mortgage corporation is also contributing to Planned Parenthood. If you might remember, there was some time ago that Krauthammer on Fox News, they were talking about drones being ubiquitous everywhere. He said the first guy to shoot down a drone is going to be a national hero. Well, we now have that man's name, okay? And we're going to give that man's name to you when we come back. This is a very interesting story. Of course, he was arrested. He was arrested, and maybe we all need to get behind him and stand behind him for what he did. It wasn't even a government drone that he shot down. This is a very creepy drone prowling around, taking video at close range of him and his neighbor's houses, and he shot it down. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Wednesday, July 29th, 2015. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to be going to a special report from Paul Joseph Watson in the UK on the UK's thought police in just a moment. But before we do, this hour, the Alex Jones Show is brought to you by the high-quality products that we sell at InfoWarsLife.com. And we have a new special today. Buy two silver, get two free. This is also free shipping. Many times we run out of our products, and of course, we're just about out of deep cleanse. We're going to run out of that probably later today, I was told by the warehouse. Right now, you can get silver. It runs out when we get close to the winter season, but this is something that is not going to expire. You can keep this for a very long time. So as I point out, this is a good time to stock up. Free shipping, 50% off, buy two silver, get two free. You can find that at InfoWarsLife.com. Again, that's a 50% off special. Stock up for it right now while it's in stock, because like many of our other products, like Deep Cleanse, they run out very, very quickly. Now, going to this report that we had yesterday from Paul Joseph Watson, we talked to him. He was in the City of London, and he was telling us about some questionable banking practices there. But this is a little bit different. This is about the thought police coming after people who want to protest Muslims. Let's go to that report.
This is Paul Joseph Watson reporting for Infowars.com. Amazing, shocking story up on Infowars.com today, which centers around this right-wing leader called Tommy Robinson. He's quite controversial in this country. He was arrested, rearrested recently for planning to attend a Draw Mohammed cartoon contest. Now, to understand the backstory, he was arrested separately for mortgage fraud last year, but he was already released by police in June. They rearrested him literally days before this event was due to take place last week because of the fear that he might offend Muslims. Now, this is coming out of a left-wing group called Hope Not Hate, which said that these right-wing individuals were planning to disseminate Mohammed cartoons in Muslim areas to start, quote, a civil war. That was completely unfounded, but Robinson himself has confirmed that he was rearrested by police just for planning to attend this Draw Mohammed cartoon event here in the United Kingdom. His speech in Oxford last year was also cancelled because, again, he was arrested by police. So we literally have thought criminals being kidnapped on the streets of London for daring to even think about committing the thought crime of offending Muslims. Of course, you think back to Charlie Hebdo back in January, Je suis Charlie and that whole stand for free speech. That has also completely evaporated in light of Charlie Hebdo now backing down and saying they will stop drawing Mohammed cartoons. Now, contrast this to an incident which occurred right here in London, in this very area, just a few weeks ago, where a Muslim individual was walking around waving an ISIS flag. He was briefly detained by police, not taken in for questioning, not arrested for carrying an ISIS flag on the streets of London. Meanwhile, British nationals who merely dare to plan to attend a Draw Mohammed cartoon event are being kidnapped off the streets simply for their free speech. We also had another incident here in the United Kingdom about a year ago where a political leader of the Liberty Party called Paul Weston was arrested again on the street for daring to read out a Winston Churchill quote about immigration because it could cause offence to immigrants. So we literally have thought criminals, political dissidents, being arrested on the streets of London because they might offend Muslims. That's the shocking state of free speech here in London, in the United Kingdom. I'm going to have more updates on that story on Infowars.com. This is Paul Joseph Watson reporting live from London for Infowars.com.
Exactly, and Alex Jones is in Europe investigating the globalist takeover there. He's traveling to various countries. He's going to be filing reports with us. As I mentioned before the break, we now have the man who is the first hero to shoot down a drone. His name is William Meredith. He's from Louisville, Kentucky, 47-year-old. This is a drone that was $1,800. We're going to have more information about that specific incident. I think it tells us a lot. And also, a reminder that Dr. Pan has now come up for a recall election. We're going to talk about that and another piece of vaccine news when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, David Knight, on this Wednesday, July 29th, 2015. As I pointed out earlier in the show, Krauthammer of Fox had said that the first person to shoot down a drone would be a hero. Here's the circumstances of the first person to do that. A man from Louisville, Kentucky, 47-year-old William Meredith. He said Sunday afternoon he was out in the yard with his kids. His girls came in from the back deck and they said, "Daddy, there's a drone outside." He went out to look at it. He waved at it. It flew away. Then later it comes back. And he says he's got a 16-year-old daughter who likes to sun out by the pool. He thought it was kind of creepy. Yeah, I think so too. He noticed, he said, you should have privacy in your own backyard. Absolutely. He noticed that it was down at the neighbor's house, about 10 feet off the ground. He said, looking under the canopy that they've got under their backyard. So it's very low. It's looking under a canopy. I went over, I got my shotgun. I said, I'm not going to do anything unless it's directly over my property. Within a minute or so, it came over his property. He said it was hovering over the top of my property and I shot it out of the sky. I didn't shoot across the road. I didn't shoot across my neighbor's fences. I shot directly into the air, shooting it down. He said, not too long, some of these guys show up and they say, are you the SOB that shot down my drone? He said, yeah, I am. And he had his 40-millimeter Glock on him, he said, and they started toward me. I told him, if you cross my sidewalk, there's going to be another shooting. So a short time after that, the police arrived. He said he was disappointed, however, with the police response. They didn't have a problem with a Peeping Tom drone. They had a problem with the fact that he shot it down when it was coming down low over his property. Trespassing. He said they didn't confiscate the drone. They gave the drone back to the individuals. They didn't even take the SIM card out of it. He said, but we've got five houses here in the neighborhood. Everyone saw it. They saw what happened, including the neighbors that were sitting in their patio when he flew down low enough to see under their patio. That's the kind of constant surveillance that we get from the government, however. People don't realize, they get upset when they see this. They get upset when a comedian comes around, you remember that report that we've showed many times on InfoWars, where he puts on a suit and sunglasses, dresses up like a Secret Service agent, gets a microphone and puts it on a big boom. And he goes around in public places where people are talking at benches, talking at tables, and he puts the microphone boom right over them. And he's got a cord coming back. They know that he's recording it, and they stop what they're doing, and they turn around and it's like, go away. This is creepy. Or they chase him or whatever. That's a normal response. It's a normal response to do that when you see a drone snooping on you. Do you understand that the government is doing that in a far worse way? Corporations are doing that in a far more invasive way than that. You just don't see it. I think that's a lot of what we see in terms of the discrepancy between the concern about that's there's the video right there. What is his name again, guys? Tom Mabe. We've even interviewed him, and I always have to ask his name. But it's really funny. He's got a lot of very funny videos I've seen. I just have a difficult time recalling his name. There you can see him going in public, holding the microphone, putting it into people's faces, intruding into their private life. That's the whole idea. Why aren't we concerned about government intrusions into our private life when they are specifically prohibited from doing that? That's why we had the FISA Act. They made it clear after they saw the encroachments and how the CIA and the NSA were getting out of bounds here domestically especially, but even abroad. They wanted to rein that in, so they created the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. So you will only be allowed to do foreign intelligence surveillance. Nevertheless, we see that the FISA court has now become a rubber stamp to allow them to do massive surveillance here domestically. That's the way they invert everything. The USA Freedom Act was set up not to assert our freedom, but to assert the freedom of the government to intrude on our liberties, on our privacy, to extend this kind of dragnet surveillance, just like the Patriot Act, just like the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act prohibits safe and accurate food labeling. Everything they do is a cynical lie anymore. Let's talk a little bit about the presidential politics while we're on cynical lies. We got Rand Paul calling for Hillary Clinton to return donations from Planned Parenthood officials. He says Hillary Clinton's hands are stained by accepting this money. She needs to immediately return every red cent she has received from Planned Parenthood employees. And he pointed out that Washington Free Beacon did research and found that Hillary Clinton had collected at more than $10,000 from at least nine different Planned Parenthood employees just since she launched this presidential election campaign. Compare that to what happened to Dinesh D'Souza, critic of Obama, who, because he gave four donations of $20,000 in different people's names, $5,000 was the limit at that time, he got charged with a felony. He's being pushed around by a judge who says he needs to be evaluated for mental illness. But of course, Planned Parenthood can give $10,000 from nine different people to Hillary Clinton, and that's what's happening. A lot of people are having enough of this. You can see at InfoWars.com, you can see a list of the politicians who supported the illegal labeling law. That's one of the articles we have up there, despite 90% of the people wanting labeling. We also have a Republican politician who's had enough of John Boehner. I've had enough of John Boehner. I would certainly support this move to oust him as Speaker of the House. This is a North Carolina representative, Mark Meadows. He has now put out a motion for Boehner to vacate the chair, an extraordinarily rare procedural move that represents the most serious expression of opposition to Boehner's speakership, they say. Now, Meadows is a second-term Republican. And they report, it's amazing that, this is Politico, of course, kind of taking the mainstream position on this. They're always going to support the leadership of the two parties. They say this is ill-advised. Many of his, even the critics of John Boehner and even Meadows' friends think this is an ill-advised move. It's preemptive. He didn't even meet privately with Boehner. It's like, why? We don't need to meet with Boehner. We know what he's doing. We know that he's betrayed the voters. We know that he can't get upset about these Planned Parenthood videos. He can only get upset about his golf games. He can cry when he talks about his golf games, but he could care less about what's going on with Planned Parenthood. It's absolutely apparent to everyone. You don't need to have yet another closed meeting with him. But nevertheless, going back to July 22nd, a little over a month ago, there was another article from Politico talking about the way he was treating fellow Republicans in the House. It goes beyond his position on the issues. It goes beyond his betrayal of the Republican voters. That should be enough. That should be enough. We don't need to have any more of that. But he's making enemies amongst the conservatives in the House. This article from a month ago says that Representative Mark Meadows, the same guy that just put up the resolution to get Boehner out, said Mark Meadows was punished for crossing the speaker. Conservatives consider blocking GOP legislation and trying to shake up the leadership at that time. The group is irate at what it calls a culture of punishment that Boehner's leadership team has instituted against members who dissent. And this isn't even really on a major issue. This was because they did not support his procedural vote on something. So because of that, Mark Meadows was punished by being removed from a subcommittee chairmanship. That's the way this goes. Now we've got Chris Christie, one of the presidential hopefuls, telling Colorado that the pot party is going to end with him if he gets elected. So now we got the pot belly lecturing the potheads, presumably. And maybe his campaign slogan could be, "Unhappy days are here again." We could take FDR's song, "Happy Days Are Here Again," play it backwards maybe, because we really are going back to the future with somebody like this. Doesn't he realize that there is no support for this in the public? If this were genuinely an election, you wouldn't make those kind of statements. But there's a lot of powerful people, powerful economic interests behind the war on drugs. Law enforcement, the prison industry. Many, many industries are behind this. And this is what he says. He says, if you're getting high in Colorado today, enjoy it. Christie says, as of January 2017, I will enforce the federal law. If you want to change the marijuana laws, go ahead. Change the national marijuana laws. Well, I would say to Christie, if you want to enact failed policies of prohibition, then why don't you amend the Constitution first, like the 18th Amendment and the 21st Amendment, if I've got those numbers right. I think those are the two. We have two amendments out of only 20-some-odd amendments that were there because the federal government has no constitutional authority to prohibit anything, folks. They needed a special amendment to have the power to prohibit alcohol. So they had to pass a constitutional amendment because they still respected the Constitution to some extent in the early 20th century. No longer. They just make a pronouncement and say it's the law. We don't care what the Constitution says. There it is. It was the 18th Amendment. They don't care what the Constitution says. Just obey the federal law. He doesn't have to obey the Constitution, even though he takes an oath to it. The whole thing is a UN agenda, and it's about time conservatives wake up to that. It's about time we wake up to the fact that we're not going to change people's behavior. We're not going to change their spiritual condition. We're not going to change their medical condition by using the hammer and fist of SWAT teams. All we're going to do is corrupt law enforcement, as we've seen over and over again. Yesterday, we had the story about a district attorney who was paying for his college loans by stealing property from people in the name of the war on drugs. They don't even charge you with a crime, let alone find you guilty of a crime. This violates every fundamental principle of government and self-government and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. The war on drugs is illegal. It needs to be stopped, but Christie hasn't gotten the memo yet. Also interesting, Fox has lowered the threshold for these early debates. They wanted to make sure that people like Lindsey, you don't get a lawyer, Graham, are included, and Carly, because I'm a woman, Fiorina, is included. So they're taking it down, taking it away. You don't even have to have 1% support. That's how they can get these people in there. Evidently, they've also eliminated candidate IQ requirements so they can fit Rick Perry in. They've lowered the gullibility threshold so they can get increased audience participation. Look, this is going to be on August 6th. It's going to be on Fox News. It's going to be a big media event for them. They want to have it to be a circus. Understand that this isn't even really a reality TV show. It doesn't even rise to that level. It's a poorly scripted sitcom. That's all these debates are about. We've got a confession from Donald Trump saying that he would consider Sarah Palin for a post in his administration. This is Sarah Palin who supported John McCain. She was John McCain's running mate. She endorsed John McCain over a Tea Party candidate when he was in a tight race in Arizona. John McCain is the guy that Donald Trump has supposedly been at war with. Okay, this is like professional wrestling, folks. It's absolute nonsense. Donald Trump says, Republicans don't hit Hillary hard enough. Our country is going to hell. Yeah, you know, he is the Howard Beale of the Republican Party. He's out there saying, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And everybody's opening up their windows and shouting out, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore, and I'm going to get behind Donald Trump. They don't understand what the problems are. Donald Trump doesn't understand what the problems are. He doesn't know what to do about it. He hasn't even formulated a really clear idea of what the programs are. Have you heard him say anything about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, about the Transatlantic Partnership? Is he concerned that mega corporations are writing the laws, that we are having this global consolidation of government, that a few people are going to own everything? Of course he isn't. He's one of the few people that's going to own everything. He's one of the few people that already owns everything. Why are we getting behind somebody who is part of the crony capitalist elite to save us? This is a guy who wanted to throw a woman out of her home because he wanted to extend the parking lot for his casino. And when she refused it, he went to the casino authority, got them to use eminent domain to come after her, and then cut it down to a quarter of what he originally offered her. He did the same thing in Connecticut, where he was working on a deal with people in government there to make himself rich. He is the very embodiment of crony capitalism. He isn't going to save us from things like the Transatlantic Partnership, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He's going to cut himself a deal in that. He doesn't understand how the war in drugs creates El Chapo, or violent crime that we see in Mexico that is now coming across into the United States. Look at this article from Infowars.com. MS-13 and violent street gangs are recruiting newly arrived illegal youth. See, the violence that people are fleeing from in El Salvador and other parts of Central and South America and Mexico, that's all coming here. It's all being made possible by prohibition. It's the same thing that we saw with Al Capone and the Chicago street gangs, except now it's on steroids. Now it's been running for decades, not just 13 years before we repeal it. It's been going now for decades. Is Donald Trump concerned about the surveillance state? I haven't heard anything about that. Is he concerned about the runaway military budget? Is he concerned about war after war after war? No. He wouldn't be running as a Republican. So I haven't seen any evidence that Donald Trump even understands what the problems are. He's appealing to the frustration of the American people. We understand the country is going down the tubes. We don't know what to do about it in most cases. And as I point out, we don't even understand what the problems are. Turning to the Democrats, look at this article about John Stewart's secret White House visits. They say John Stewart slipped unnoticed into the White House in the middle of October 2011. It was a budget fight at the time. He was summoned to the Oval Office to have coffee with President Obama. He jokingly told his escort he felt like he was being called to the principal's office. Maybe he wasn't getting the right message out. He needed to fine-tune his message in order to help the president. Ah, you thought it was just an innocent comedy show. You thought the guy had an honest opinion. You didn't realize you're being propagandized by John Stewart. Here's another one. February 2014, Obama again requested Stewart to make the trip from Manhattan to the White House, this time for a mid-morning visit hours before the president would go on television cameras to warn Russia that there will be costs if it made any further military intervention in Ukraine. So here you are, the young people, the millennials, the younger generation who are looking to Jon Stewart for their news, and he's working with the president to make them cannon fodder in a war with the Russians. Yeah, that's the kind of propaganda that we've got going on. They say this speaks, now this is Politico. Of course, they agree with him politically. So they cover for him, not Camille Paglia. She had some pretty harsh words about Jon Stewart in that article. We won't go to that, but Politico takes the position that this speaks volumes about Jon Stewart's reach. No, it speaks volumes about the propaganda, about the secret cozy relationships between the media. It's about how they can turn national politics into a heavily scripted sitcom. As I said, it's not a reality show. It's a sitcom. So instead of anchors like we've had in the past, Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, we've got comedians. How appropriate. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, David Knight, on this Wednesday, July 29th, 2015. As I mentioned earlier, we've got a new special at InfoWarsLife.com. Silver Bullet is on sale. You can get two Silver Bullet and then get two free. That's 50% off. We also have free shipping. As we pointed out many times, we run out of Silver Bullet because, especially during winter months, people are taking this to guard against infection, cold, that sort of thing. It's 30 parts per million colloidal silver. Right now, you can get it in stock. It's not going to go bad if you set it on your shelf. It's in stock, 50% off, and free shipping. And that's just for another 2 days. The end of July, that's going to be Friday. So for just another couple of days, you can get everything at InfoWarsLife.com with free shipping. Deep Cleanse is just about out. I was talking to them earlier today. They said there's probably only about 100 bottles of that left, so that'll probably sell out today. And we have our newest sleep support formulation, Knockout. That is $10 off. That's 30% off the regular price. Again, free shipping. As I was talking about yesterday, there's ways that you can reset your body clock, ways that you can calm yourself down and get sleep if you're not doing it. You can go set out in the woods. You can take off all artificial lighting, all Wi-Fi, all these different things, and reset your body clock. Hopefully your natural melatonin will kick in. But a lot of people find as they get older, their melatonin levels, everyone's melatonin levels, decrease. And so that's why a lot of people will take a supplement to help them get to sleep. But Knockout has more than just melatonin. It has valerian root, it has L-tryptophan, and it has other ingredients that will naturally help you to get to sleep easier. You can find that at InfoWarsLife.com. Again, that's $10 off or 30% off of the regular price. It's a new sleep support formulation that we have at InfoWarsLife.com. And we were just talking about politics. We didn't talk too much about the Democrat side. We talked a little bit about Jon Stewart. Hillary Clinton's missing emails continue to come back to haunt her. We should all be concerned about this. Now, the newest revelation here, and this is coming from the Daily Beast. People that would normally support her, they're even concerned about this. They say there is a two-month gap in Hillary Clinton's emails that coincides with the violence in Libya. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that those emails would be missing? Remember the 18 minutes that were missing from the Nixon tapes? Okay, she's got thousands of emails that are missing from 2 months. 2 months, not 18 minutes, but 2 months are missing from the record. And it coincides with the employment status of a top Clinton aide, Huma Abedin. Very interesting. Several thousand emails missing. It wouldn't be the case that Hillary Clinton is a hypocrite, would it? I mean, she's just started this global warming push while she travels around on a jet that's consuming 347 gallons of fuel every hour. Every hour. Every hour. That's the kind of elitist hypocrisy that we see from Hillary Clinton and the global warming crowd. But understand that this is about the whole global warming push is fraudulent. I've got an article here, and I don't have it right here. I'll pull it up when we come back from break, about the massive fraud that has been uncovered in the data. Of course, we've seen climate gate fraud. I was involved in trying to get some of those records with a group that I was working in. This was information that was paid for by the university. We have an individual, Michael Mann, who is working at the University of Virginia, corresponding with the people who were covering this up in the UK. But of course, even though the public was paying for this, he was doing it on working time, even though his conclusions were being used to set public policy. We could not see the emails. That's the kind of hypocrisy, the kind of manipulation we see. And of course, one of her opponents is pointing out that, hey, folks, Clinton voted for the Iraq War. Think about that. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host on this Wednesday, July 29th, 2015. In the next segment, we have another report from Paul Joseph Watson about the bankers, the real criminals. And we're going to talk about crony capitalism. We're going to play that report for you. This segment, I wanted to go over some of the breaking news that's on InfoWars.com. This story, lawmakers vote to let Obama take your passport without trial. Why not? You can be put on a no-fly list without trial, without due process. They don't tell you. Remember when I first came here back in 2012, there was a story that broke and we had a lot to do with it. It was Doug Hagman contacted us. We pushed it on our site. We interviewed Wade Hicks, who was someone who had been vetted very recently by both the TSA who put him on the no-fly list, and the FBI for firearms purchases. He was flying to Japan to see his wife, who was in the military. He was flying on a military plane. And when he got to Hawaii, he makes his transfer. He's on the plane. And just before it takes off, they pull him off and say, you're not going anywhere. You're on a no-fly list. So they didn't know it when they flew him from California on a military plane to Hawaii. They didn't know it. He didn't know he was on a no-fly list. He had just been vetted by the TSA as a transportation worker. He had been vetted by the FBI, but he went through this long struggle because he was essentially stuck in Hawaii, which is what's going to happen if the government takes your passport. You're not going to be able to get out of the country. It's essentially having a Berlin Wall, a digital Berlin Wall, if you will. This is one of the reasons why I don't see a solution to the open borders as creating a massive fence. Ignore the fact that people can always tunnel under it. They can always hop over. They can get around a fence. They can smuggle people in any way you want. You have to remove the incentives that our government is providing, that big corporations are providing. That's why the U.S. Chamber of Commerce supports it. That's why the Republicans support it. We have to remove the idea that we have a North American Union. We need to assert our sovereignty, but we need to stop drawing people into this country with lavish benefits, treating them better than we treat our citizens, giving them diplomatic immunity for crimes that are committed, catch and release programs, giving them in-state tuition in every state that we don't give to American citizens, and on and on and on. That giant sucking sound that Ross Perot talked about is us. It's our policies. It's our government policies. It's what we allow the corporations to do because they want to export jobs and they want to import workers to get their costs down. But it's very troubling to see yet another one of these issues, like the no-fly list. People that get put on the no-fly list, they don't know when they're put on it. They don't know why they're put on it. The TSA will not correspond to anyone, give them any information. This is Star Chamber stuff, just like we were talking about earlier, the FISA court. It's not even a court. It's one judge who works for the government, who rubber stamps everything that they want to do. And we see over and over again, like the no-fly list. Now, this will presumably operate the same way, taking your passport without a trial, locking you in the country, because that's what happened to Wade Hicks. He got stuck in. If you can't fly out of Hawaii, how do you get out? He eventually hopped a freighter, I think that was the way he got back. I think he came back by... I take that back. That was what he was planning on doing. I think he worked with people in the military to get around that ban. Another thing that they're coming after, of course, to try to control your movements, is a new drunk driving legislation that would require breathalyzers in all new cars. Now, of course, drunk driving is a problem. A lot of innocent people have been killed by drunk driving. But we're all going to have to pay for this as if we were all abusers. It's going to be a very expensive, troublesome new device that we're going to have to put in there. People like me, who don't even drink alcohol, will have to have a breathalyzer in their car. I will have to maintain it. And this is all yet another incremental approach to getting us to understand that we're not going to go anywhere without the express prior approval of our government. Because the next thing they will add is an analysis of, have you paid all of your taxes or other fees? You're not going to go to work if you haven't. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
The Alex Jones Show on this Wednesday, July 29th, 2015. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to talk about some economic news this section, and we're going to play a report from Paul Joseph Watson about what's going on with bankers in the UK. But of course, Alex Jones is in Europe this week. He's doing investigative reportings about the globalist takeover there, especially in some of the fringe countries like Spain and Italy, just as we have seen what happened in Greece. Those are next on the list. A lot of this is being driven by Germany. Germany complaining about the profligate, wasteful spending of Greece. Let me give you an article that just came out the last couple of days. How Berlin's futuristic airport became a $6 billion embarrassment. This is from Bloomberg Business. Now, this is a story that goes back to 2011. They say it was a brand new airport, the International Willy Brandt Airport, fall of 2011. This was something that they had spent 600 million euros for, $656 million. But this is something that, of course, is a tale of woe that goes to 10 times that, to $6 billion for this airport. This is a terminal on the outskirts of Berlin, Germany's capital. It was billed as Europe's most modern, but the building inspectors could not believe what they saw when they got there. They simulated a fire, and the system went haywire. Some alarms failed to activate, others indicated a fire, but in the wrong part of the terminal. The explanation was buried, they said, in the 55-mile tangle of wiring that had been laid hastily beneath the floors of the building, where ORAT technicians soon discovered high-voltage power lines alongside data and heating cables. A fire hazard in its own right. That wasn't all. Smoke evacuation canals designed to suck out smoke and replace it with fresh air failed to do either. In an actual fire, the inspectors determined the main smoke vent might well implode. So the chief executive officer of the airport, Rainier Schwartz, comes up with an emergency plan. Get this. To allow them to open on time, what he was going to do was have 800 low-paid workers armed with cell phones take up positions throughout the terminal. When all else fails, with massive, complicated, high-tech solutions, go back to just boots on the ground. But of course, this requires cell phones. And they say, well, they're going to report this, of course, if they smell smoke or they see a fire. Okay. But the region's cell phone networks were notoriously unreliable. Oops, as Rick Perry would say. Martin Delius said it was an idiotic plan, and so on and so on and so on. Look, every country has massive waste. People make mistakes, but there's also massive crony capitalism involved. So it's not just incompetence, but in many cases, what the public views as incompetence is somebody doing something to enhance their profits. That's why we need to regard with suspicion these secret trade agreements that are being written by corporations, that even though we have passed the fast-track trade process, we have still not been able to see these agreements. These massive agreements are going to be sprung on our legislators. They're not going to be able to offer any amendments. They're going to have no filibusters allowed in the Senate, 20 hours to talk about it, and then a straight up or down vote. And once it is done, as Senator Sessions has pointed out, it will create a transnational committee that will continually modify this document without any input from our Congress, from our elected representatives or from any other country's elected representatives. They will be able to add other countries at will. We have an article up on Infowars.com about how the State Department and the Obama administration are changing the human rights evaluations of Malaysia so they can be included in this Trans-Pacific Partnership. But listen to this, because this is one that I had not seen. This is a story that is on Liberty Blitzkrieg. Bankers squirm as Congress moves to cut the 6% dividend paid to them by the Federal Reserve. I didn't know about this. This is something, of course, the Federal Reserve has been around for a little over 100 years. They say, regardless of boom, bust, or recession, the biggest Wall Street banks have been enjoying a 6% risk-free return on the capital that they hold at the Fed in the form of dividends. So, and what he doesn't say here is that with interest rates at 0% for the bankers, they get the money at 0%, they send it back to the Fed, they get paid 6%, and they get that tax-free. Because if the shares of the stock were acquired prior to March 28, 1942, the 6% risk-free individual dividend is tax-exempt and the bank doesn't have to pay corporate income taxes on it. How's that for an entitlement program? Absolutely amazing. Keep that in mind today as the private Federal Reserve that is not accountable to Congress. Janet Yellen, who told congressmen that they need to mind their own business, not try to audit her, not try to micromanage what they're doing. They're going to meet behind closed doors and they're going to release the white smoke to let us know if rates are going to go up or if they're going to keep them on hold. We have differing opinions from Wall Street publications. That's going to be announced, they say, today at 1 o'clock Central Time. I think it's 2 o'clock Eastern Time, if I'm correct. So we'll keep you posted on that if something comes up with that. Let's go to Paul Joseph Watson's report about the corruption of bankers. Again, these are shots of London.
Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? Aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do? Aren't we all just...
And it's so typical of the way the IMF and the World Bank work that you put a country in debt. It's such a big debt it can't pay it. And then you offer to refinance that debt.
Greek voters will be asked to rule on two draft documents that detail a proposal by the country's creditors to unlock aid as much as 15.5 billion euros for Greece in return for sales tax increases and pension reforms.
And the plan has failed. This isn't just Greece we're talking about today. The whole of the Mediterranean now finds itself in the wrong currency. But the big banks, the big businesses and big politics forced you in. Goldman Sachs, the German arms manufacturers, they were all very happy. And when the bailouts began, they weren't for the Greek people. Those bailouts were to bail out French, German, and Italian banks. They haven't helped you.
The governments don't rule the world. Goldman Sachs rules the world.
Paul Joseph Watson reporting for Infowars.com outside the Bank of England in London. And on the subject of banks, of course, we had HSBC slapped with fines recently for money laundering, whereas when it comes to the customer of a bank, we're being treated with more and more suspicion. Of course, major cash withdrawals are now being treated suspiciously. We've also got Halifax Bank today in an article on Infowars.com where they're giving information to third parties about when and where people visit banks. So the exact time, location, when people are visiting banks, withdrawing money, they're putting this in a database and passing it over to third parties. No idea if that information remains secure. We approached Halifax Bank and the third party involved in this, and they basically acknowledged that that was the case. They're taking the exact time and location when you visit the bank and then calling you up saying, oh, Mr. Smith, we know that you were at the bank last Friday. We want to talk to you about the services we can offer. So they're actually keeping that information, your physical location as you go from bank to bank, in a central database and then selling it to third parties who will then call you up and harass you. And remember, they do this under the guise of customer service. They're just helping you by knowing and tracking the location where you visit your bank, how much money you take out. Again, going into the bank, taking out amounts as small as £5,000 is being treated as suspicious activity. You're having to provide documents to prove not only why you're taking out the money, but also where it will go, with documentation to prove that.
Feds urge banks to call cops on customers who withdraw $5,000 or more. When I take a crew of five or six reporters to Europe, I give them all $2,000 and they give me receipts, but in case the cards quit working, which happens all the time, we've got money. That's not, if we're carrying $10,000 cash on us, we're not criminals. Cash isn't illegal. This whole phony drug war, the banks launder the drug money publicly, and then they act like we're criminal taking company money or after-tax money out of the bank.
So again, the stranglehold is being tightened on the ordinary customer for banks, whereas big banks that commit major fraud are getting away with slaps on the wrist, and it continues to happen. We're coming under increasing scrutiny simply for withdrawing large amounts of cash or visiting the ATM to take out money. So that's how serious it's become. This is Paul Joseph Watson reporting live from the Bank of England for Infowars.com.
And again, you having cash is criminal. They want to get that idea out there. But if HSBC launders billions of dollars for the Sinaloa drug cartel, putting El Chapo in power, that's not a crime, according to them. They get a small slap on the wrist. Nobody goes to jail. Now, this hour of the Alex Jones Show is brought to you by the products that we sell at InfoWarsLife.com, products like Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine. We have that in stock right now, and you can get free shipping through the end of July. Two more days on that. We have X2 reviews at InfoWarsLife.com you can check out. We have over 99% of those respondents would recommend it to a friend or family member. Let me give you a couple of the reviews we've got here. Here's one from Maverick in Austin, Texas. He says, I've suffered from occasional brain fog and lapses in memory from cumulative effects of multiple concussions. After using this product for 3 months now, I have much clarity of thought and mental energy. My vocabulary is returning. If I could only take one supplement, this would be it. Here's another one from Happy Healthy Info Warrior Guy in Austin, Texas. He says, I was skeptical at first, but I'm very glad I gave X2 a try, and I highly recommend it. My skin looks better, as does my hair. New gray hairs have decreased by about half since I started taking X2. Again, now is the time to stock up when we have it in stock and when we have free shipping for the next 2 days. That's Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, available at InfoWarsLife.com. Support our operation and stay with us. We'll be right back.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host on this Wednesday, July 29, 2015. I was just giving, Buckley came in and just gave me some articles about Ed Schultz's firing from MSNBC. It's very interesting because along the lines of what we were talking about earlier in the show with Camille Paglia, talking about how controlled the mainstream media is, especially the left mainstream media, saying that even she could not get a hearing. She had to go outside of the media. She said, that's why we had the rise of alternative media. That's why we had the rise of talk radio, of Rush Limbaugh, of others. It's because it was totally blocked, totally controlled. So a lot of people are asking, why was Ed Schultz fired? Buckley gave me several articles here. One of these points out that his ratings were much better than Chris Hayes. They say people were surprised that this happened. And so they're asking, why is one of MSNBC's higher-rated programs, even though they are struggling across the board because of the political dishonesty of that network, why are they dumping someone who has been very honest about pointing out the problems of the Trans-Pacific Partnership? They pointed out that he has been relentless in calling out the problems of the TPP, the TTIP, these secretive deals that are being written by corporations. Now, Republicans reflexively jump behind this when you say it's about free trade. We can have a debate about free trade versus managed trade. We can have that debate, but that's not what this is about. This is about crony capitalism. It's not about free trade. This is about setting up a structure where a few corporations own and control everything. It's about setting these corporations up at the level or superior to the governments. It's about sovereignty. It's about world government, quite frankly. We've talked about this many times here, but one of the few voices on mainstream cable news opposing this was Ed Schultz. They say, when it comes to coverage of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, no one in corporate media covered the issue more than Ed Schultz on MSNBC's The Ed Show. When it was announced last week that they were pulling the plug from his program, they effectively killed the only national voice that was talking about the disaster of a trade deal on cable news. The only one on cable news talking about it. They say between August 1st and 2013, Media Matters, between August 1st, 2013 and January 31st, 2015, a two-year period, Media Matters says that Ed Schultz covered the TPP on 71 different segments, not including the time that he brought up the issue during the network's coverage of the State of the Union address in 2015. Now, that's from Ring of Fire. Reverb Press says there's been a surge of faithful Ed Schultz fans posting on social media in the last few days, angry that The Ed Show is reportedly getting canceled. They've made petitions. Even presidential candidate Bernie Sanders has come to Schultz's defense, saying that he's very disappointed that Comcast chose to remove Ed Schultz from its lineup. Bernie Sanders said, "We need more people who talk about the real issues that are facing our country, not fewer people." That's the whole point. When we look at MSNBC, when we look at Fox News, we get the same narrowly defined issues. They will not talk about many of the existential issues facing our country, or we will get the same thing from MSNBC that we get from Fox News when it comes to things like the TPP or the TTIP. We don't get another opinion. Do you see anybody on those channels talking about the out-of-control illegal war on drugs? Anybody other than, say, Judge Napolitano? Oh, that's right. He got his show canceled too, didn't he? They still have him on occasionally as a commentator on Fox, but they don't want to have a voice out there that opposes what the leadership of both the Republican and the Democrat parties are pushing on us. We can see this very clearly. We can see Megyn Kelly at Fox News talking about how are mandatory vaccines Big Brother? Yes, she says. Of course they're Big Brother, but sometimes you need Big Brother. Yeah, those times are when your corporate sponsors pay for 75% of your programming on network television. That's when your boss, Rupert Murdoch, and his son are involved with big pharmaceutical companies. That's when you need Big Brother. And they don't hesitate pushing Big Brother at Fox News. They don't hesitate pushing wars for the military-industrial complex either. And neither do people like Hillary Clinton, as we just pointed out. But of course, she gets a pass on that because she's a Clinton, she's a woman, whatever, because of her identity. That's precisely what Camille Paglia was saying. She said, we need to have an honest and open discussion. There are many existential, important issues that people on both the left and the right would agree with. We need to start having those discussions. And quite frankly, I don't see anybody in either party that is talking about those things except for Rand Paul. He's the one who will confront the surveillance state. He will confront and vote against the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
We've seen the recent looting of Greece, Puerto Rico in trouble, the crisis in China. And, of course, we're going to be investigating what's happening in Spain, what's happening in Rome. They're reporting that Rome is basically on the edge of collapse. That's the city leaders saying that because infrastructure is not being built. Money is being siphoned off to globalist operations. But remember back in 2011 when John Corzine, the former head of Goldman Sachs, the MF Global head, raided people's private accounts for billions of dollars, and it took him years to pay it all back. Anybody else would have gone to prison. And that ties into the fact that most of the welfare is corporate welfare, and that's why they want to shut down real economies and get everybody else on welfare dependent so that we all have a stake in this giant scam. So folks have asked me to do these comedy satire pieces more, and I really am too focused, too serious to do them these days, but I thought I'd bring back from the vault from 2011, December 9th, almost 4 years ago, a piece where I played the part of Don John Corzine, saying he's a mafia boss, a banker in a top hat, and then I basically interview myself in this piece to try to illustrate just how insane this fraud is, and it ties into everything we see today with the derivatives and the rest of it. The problem isn't better. It's much, much worse. When we have people like John Corzine, the big White House financial advisor, the former head of Goldman Sachs, stealing billions of dollars and saying, I don't know where it went, and I'm not going to discuss it. And Congress is like, okay, well, thank you. We've got a serious issue. So I thought we would talk to, the evil spirit that possesses John Corzine, Don Corleone, John Corzine, directly teleporting in from Hades, orbiting a deep space galactic nebula. And he joins us right now, top hat and all, to explain to us why he's doing what he's doing. Well, it's good to talk to you. I know you're proud of all of your looting and creative destruction, Mr. Corzine. It's good to have you here, Mr. Beelzebub, or Corzine. Beelzebub, I know is the proper name. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's incredible. All the people are going to throw out of their houses, and we've almost shut down all the industry, and only if you're a globalist insider, we'll be able to even operate and do business, and we're setting the precedent to steal everything. Oh, I didn't realize the interview was live right now, but it doesn't matter if I got caught saying that. Just like the ATF got caught shipping all those guns into Mexico and their own memos saying they blame it on the Second Amendment. Nothing will be done to the Attorney General, and nothing will be done to me, because we've got criminals in place everywhere, and it doesn't matter if you're stolen billions out of your private accounts from MF Global. It's right under someone's nose. No one can stop us. Oh, but I'm a good person that cares. I don't know where the money is. I'm sorry. You wanted to interview me? I'm here now to be talked to by you.
Wow. You give a new definition to the name Fast Talker. Look, nobody's buying you in Congress saying that you have no idea what went on and that you have no idea where the money went. So why don't you just go ahead and tell us where the money is?
Oh, I spoke before the Honorable Congress, and I have $35,000 plate dinners with the Honorable Obama. And just like we got away with it, some people would say, but of course we didn't. We're doing God's work, as one of my counterparts said, the head of Goldman Sachs. Just like we were able to take 16 plus trillion and transfer it to our foreign subsidiaries, we're going to be able to do this as well. You think 1 billion, 2 billion, 3 billion of people's private segregated accounts of a company we took over is a big deal? It's nothing. Because, see, I am distinguished. I'm wearing a top hat, I'm wearing a suit, and I have a beard, a grandfatherly beard. And so everything is fine.
Okay, we understand you're trendy and super stylish and hang out with all the establishment criminals. But seriously, in fact, I've written down some questions here I want to ask you. How could you in 1 year take a profitable company like MF Global and run it into the ground and steal people's private sequestered or segregated accounts under federal law is a crime? How could you do that? Please answer the question.
How could I do the great things I did at MF Global in a year? You see, you're thinking about actually building up a company. We're talking about command destruction, order out of chaos. We're talking about using MF Global as a globalist mafia instrument to go buy up legitimate companies with people's private bank accounts in them and then take that money and give it to our shareholders and people that are on the advisory board like Bill Clinton. That's how this works. You see, with Europe and the tens of trillions being transferred by the Federal Reserve private consortium that Goldman Sachs that I headed up is part of, Europe is not ever meant to pay back the tens of trillions of U.S. taxpayer-backed money. They're meant to go deeper into debt through debt bondage. We create the derivatives fraud, and then the rest of the world and our operatives who run their countries sign everyone on to our debt. So I didn't run the company into the ground. You don't ask a bank robber who successfully robs a bank, you know, why did he fail? He succeeded. Just because there's some dead guards and $1 million cash missing, that's the proof of the success. We're not screwing anything up. When Congress asks us, how do we learn from this and not do this again, we're learning how much you'll put up with. And the whore media that we control, oh, I'm sorry, I've got trending grandfatherly, the loving, reasonable media bought and paid for by people. And the Pentagon's under our control. We're slaughtering people worldwide. We hate everybody. You think we're just going to stop what we've done here in the U.S.? We like 1 million dead Iraqis and stolen oil and trillions of dollars of Nubian contracts. We're savage killers. And you naive people will never figure it out. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm being trendy right now. Oh, I don't know where the money went. Isn't that reasonable? I was the CEO. And everybody knows we took the private accounts. It's illegal, but never mind about that. You heard the attorney general yesterday in testimony. They said, we have your memos where you perjured yourself about Fast and Furious. And he said, we didn't intend to lie. We've got to get your guns before we really steal everything you've got. I'm sorry, little reporter. What else was it you had to say? You and your info warriors may be somewhat awake, but the rest of the public's brain damaged from toxic fluoride and Ritalin and Prozac and guzzling alcohol and watching brainwashing television. And there's nothing they won't put up with. They love being slaves. Because I'm just a nice little grandfather in person. Was there something else you wanted to sit on Santa's knee and ask for, Mr. Jones?
Okay, well, people notice that all over the third world, Latin America, Asia, Africa, Middle East, Western Europe, Eastern Europe, all over the world, every country you take down either has Goldman Sachs people in place, the ministers, the presidents, all of them, the heads of the treasury systems, the finance ministers, are all Goldman Sachs. And we notice that then the solution you offer is only gives your own system more power when you sold the fraudulent derivatives. I mean, this is incredibly obvious that you guys are economic terrorists. I mean, who do you work for? What's going on here? What's the end game? Is there any end to how you are gang raping the world population? And I mean, I know your whore media worships you, but I mean, is there any end to their groveling to your criminal activity as they destroy their own future?
How does Goldman Sachs help the world economy, you're asking? How do we get control of every nation and then implode them? That's called an economic takeover. For decades, we get our people into the prime ministerships, the presidencies, into the Department of Treasuries or Exchequer in Greece, Iceland, you name it, Australia, Germany, France, Italy. They're all Goldman Sachs alumni. You can have upwards of 70 people at a Bilderberg meeting of 130 that are Goldman Sachs. And we're kind of the Darth Vader to Emperor Palpatine, that's J.P. Morgan. Chase. And then we go out and we do the thieving and the stealing and the imploding. And we call it free market when we create trillions of fake derivatives and sell them to people and then have government bail it out with taxpayer money. That's called conservative. But of course, it doesn't matter if it's Bill Clinton who helped get rid of the laws that allowed us to do this, or George W. Bush or Obama. We buy them all. And while the public's debating liberal conservative, we are taking over everything. And that's the proof in survival of the fittest, social Darwinism. We have the power. We were able to do this, so it's our right to do it. Kind of like Hitler said, might makes right. If I can dominate you and take you over and you don't stop me, well, then you deserve what's happened to you. Do you understand that, little worms, American people, people of the world? You're not going to do anything to stop us because I am a nice old man. I'm trending.
Okay, well, you certainly are craven and craved, and a mesmerized, brain-damaged population serving you. I can understand how you've become quite delusional, like Caligula or some of the Aztec kings. Gary Gensler was your main minion at Goldman Sachs, and he headed up the CFTC. He's been missing now for a month, and he was the guy supposedly regulating you. I mean, this is pretty obvious what you're doing. What's going on with you and Gary Gensler? What's going on with you? I mean, do you guys run everything? I mean, could you barbecue children on the White House lawn? Could you abuse elephants at Central Park? I mean, is there nothing you couldn't do? Is there anything you won't do to us? Land of the coward, home of the slave. Oh, great satanic goblin leader.
Gary Gensler. Maybe I don't like to be asked about this. Maybe I should read a 40-page, and that's what it is. I've got a copy of it over here. Maybe I should read a 40-plus-page opening statement so all the networks tune out about growing up as a child and how I'm just like everybody else. I'm just like everybody else, so you'll let down your guard. Gary Gensler was my right-hand man at Goldman Sachs, selling county, cities, and private individuals and pensioners fraudulent paper that we knew was totally worthless, like in our Timberwolf emails where we called our customers dumb effers and, you know, said we're selling them SH, you know what, IT. This is a family show. I know I better not say the full thing. Kerry, the head of the CFTC, has disappeared the last few weeks. No one knows where he is, but the media's bought and paid for. No one will even point that out. Madoff was one of our people. He's a great guy. People got a little too much onto him. We've got to throw somebody to the wolves occasionally. And Gensler, my right-hand man from Goldman Sachs, runs the CFTC and allowed me to do all this. It's really been quite fabulous in the final equation.
Well, this is our interview with the demon that possesses John Corzine. His voice is sped up because something about the machinery Chekhov was explaining to me causes a time distortion, so it's sped up. I'm not quite sure I understand that, but it's something to do with Einstein and what's happening there. But I wanted to show you, see this, some funny money. We bought this at a store today for, I think, like $3. And some of these are $1 bills, some are $5, some are $10, some are $20, some are hundreds, some are thousands. But, $3, we basically got a couple $100,000 here. And it says the play money of America, but it actually has as real, the same intrinsic value as this that says Federal Reserve note. And you can see where it says Federal Reserve note here up in the top left-hand corner, if we can zoom in on that. Until the Federal Reserve took over in 1913, it said United States note, and it was backed by silver and gold, and later they phased that out. Kennedy tried to reissue Lincoln greenbacks that had been issued. Of course, they assassinated him when he'd issued $5 billion. He was going to issue $40-plus billion. But what is the difference between this funny money here that isn't legal tender and the fraud you issue? Because you weren't content to be able to control the issuance of this and buy up the world with it. You created tens of trillions, well, actually 1,000-plus trillion total of fake derivatives. And of course, I know in Zimbabwe, they don't have the world's biggest note from hyperinflation, $100 trillion. And I'll show the viewers a document cam shot of that. So what's the difference between this stuff I bought at the local costume shop when I was getting the beard you're wearing, and this Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe, $100 trillion, and this $100 bill that basically has about the same value as a $5 bill in the 1960s, or this deception dollar put out, showing the fiat currency and exposing the New World Order. What is the difference between all of these? Can you give me some rational answer in closing to how you guys have taken over government with all this fraudulent paper, and just because you wear suits and top hats, it's supposedly all okay?
Our master plan is to destroy civilization and to have a post-industrial, neo-feudalistic serf system that Maurice Strong, the UN, Ted Turner, Prince Philip, Prince Charles, and others have openly called for. We're going to make you pay a lot more for a lot less. We're going to shut down most of your infrastructure. We're going to shut down your farms if there's any dust. Hay is listed as a pollutant, but all of our friends will be given total waivers. We are taking over everything in a cunning, white-collar fraud with armies of control freaks, socialists that are ignorant as the day is long and really believe they're going to get crumbs from our table, even as they witness us destroying the society. And we control the right-wingers as well, who will endorse any amount of blank checks to us and bailouts, calling it free market. We've got the whole thing figured out. That's the end game. World government, openly run by the bankers, openly run by Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and the Bank of England. That's what we've got set up. Even now, we criticize you for decades and to be a world collapse engineered by megabanks and derivatives, offering a world government new corporate global bond, which is now being set up in Europe and will spread worldwide. We'll hold you financially captive and terrorize the hell out of you, and every solution we give you only brings you deeper into our bondage. And the media and CIA operatives like Anderson Cooper will sit up there and sell out their families and everyone else, and Fox News will play along and all of them, until you've got total control and you're totally bankrupt, so the social workers can take control of your life, and so you're all dependent on us. That's the end game. That's where it is. Trampling and being trampled on. A society that gets more cruel, more wicked, beyond 1984. This is a world of psychopaths and control freaks and sickos and those that love ugliness and total crushing of innocence and destruction of beauty and genetic engineering and nuclear waste dumps. In the old years, people worried about radiation. We just have scientists raise the level and say it's safe. We're so psychopathic ourselves, we live in higher radiation and don't care. It's part of being delusional and psychopathic and turned over to pure evil. It's about serving Satan, our master, bringing more destruction, more pain, more murder. And we'll see if you people rising up against us can stop us. You got that, little man, and that's why I came on your show. For all you and your listeners, your spirit of liberty is trash, and a new world order run by pot-bellied scum like me is too powerful. We've got too many steroid heads that serve us in law enforcement who love destroying America, and there's nothing you can do to stop us. You got that, little man? You got that? And I don't know where the money is. I have no idea. Who knows? We just print this garbage up and you'll sell out your own mother for it. We can issue total trillions of it. There's nothing you won't put up with. I'm done talking to you. I'm done talking to you. I'm done talking to you. There's nothing you can do to stop our new world order. Just take some Prozac. Enjoy it. Enjoy the pain. And we're going to inoculate your children and brain damage them and triple the cancer and everything else. You got that? Good. Good. Because I'm done talking to you.
Wow, well, I'm beginning to realize here that if you can't beat them, join them. I mean, this guy puts cancer viruses in the vaccines and fluoride in the water and radioactive isotopes. I mean, it's all confirmed. Maybe I was the crazy person all along. Maybe I should wear a top hat and grovel the death. I mean, just get into it. I mean, maybe this whole night show was wrong. Maybe it's good to have monopolies cheating everybody. Maybe it's good to have tyranny. Maybe all Americans can start to wear top hats and be trendy. Maybe I've been wrong, but you know what? I actually realize I'm not wrong. And we're going to beat people like him, because that's actually, from my studying how Corzine and the rest of these globalists operate, that's what they think about us. They think they're invincible. They think they're all powerful. They think they can intimidate everybody with all their black uniforms and crap. Let me tell you something, Corzine. Put it back on screen. We're going to kick your ass politically. We're going to wake the people up and educate them and show them all your secrets. And your days are numbered to be sucking people dry. You're going to prison. You're a financial terrorist and you will pay. You got that?
And again, that was Alex Jones interviewing Don John Corzine, a comedy piece. And of course, if you are invested in this crooked market, the joke is on you. Look at what happened in China just yesterday. The Chinese stock markets plummeted Monday in the biggest one-day drop since 2007. The Shanghai Composite Index fell 8.5%, raising doubts, what do you think, about the effectiveness of the government in Beijing's ability to rig the market. Yeah, it's basically Las Vegas without showgirls, okay? It's gambling for nerds. There's another article that came up today on Infowars.com, Reality of a Massive Market Crash. Read the stories of the people. Here, quote, I have lost everything. I don't know what to do. I trusted the government too much. We trust the government with too many things. In China, they thought the government could secure their margin calls. Didn't happen. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host today. Joining us in the next hour is going to be Steve Quayle. And I've got some more news about the recall efforts in California to try to recall the senator who pushed through this mandatory vaccine bill that denies people their informed consent. Before I get to that, we'll let you know that this hour of the Alex Jones Show has been brought to you by our products that we sell at InfoWarsLife.com. That's how we support our operation. We have free shipping this week. Through the end of July, that's the end of this week, actually, through Friday, we have free shipping on everything at the store, and we have added to that today a special on Silver Bullet. You can buy two Silver Bullet and get two free. That's 50% off. Silver Bullet is a powerful colloidal silver product, free of artificial additives, perfect for your preparedness supply. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in a pure base of deionized water, there's a reason that listeners have dubbed Silver Bullet as their preparedness silver. Get it now while it's in stock. It's not going to go bad. You can put this on in your kitchen cabinet, put it in part of your emergency preparedness supply right now. And again, two Silver Bullet and you get two free. That's 50% off. You can find that at InfoWarsLife.com. Now, as I mentioned earlier in the show a couple of times, there is an effort going on in California to recall the doctor and state senator, Richard Pan. Received a lot of money, by the way, from big pharmaceutical companies as contributions. He pushed through a bill, SB 277, to remove informed consent from children, to basically hold a gun to their head and say, your kid is not going to get into school, public or private, unless you take all the vaccines that we say at the times that we say. Just as we were talking earlier about how Camille Paglia supports abortion, but she is outraged by the way the media has covered up and has spun the story about the baby parts and the sale of these baby parts. We can disagree about the safety and the effectiveness of vaccines, but can't we all agree that we don't want to be forced by government? We don't want government holding a gun to our head and telling us that we have to take certain medical treatments. We want to be able to make that decision ourselves, make it for ourselves, make it for our families. But that's precisely what Pan has done. Hold a gun to your head, force you to take a product for which the vaccine companies have already gotten government to give them zero liability. They have immunity from any liability, but you will not get immunity from these vaccines. Now, the recall is not on just yet. Proponents have until December the 31st to collect 35,926 verified signatures from voters in his district. I would suggest that you look to see how you can help do that. I know being involved in petition movements in the past that there are certain things that you can do to help even if you're not in the state. But while we're talking about vaccines and while we're talking about the safety and effectiveness of vaccines, look at the story from the Washington Post that came out a couple of days ago. They say imperfect vaccines could make viruses more dangerous, at least for chickens. They're not going to admit that there's any problems for human vaccines. Listen to the way they kowtow to Big Pharma. This is the Washington Post. They say vaccines widely used by humans today, especially those used to protect children against mumps, measles, and other potential deadly ailments, are what we'd call perfect vaccines. Are you serious? Are you serious? They're perfect vaccines. So the vaccines that we have, MMR, that we're holding a gun to people's head for, that we have to give big pharmaceutical companies legal immunity. Why would we have to give them legal immunity if these are perfect vaccines? No, they're not safe. They're not effective. They say new research suggests that imperfect or leaky vaccines might affect animals like chickens, like farm animals. This new research shows a herpes-like virus, Merck's disease, is now made more deadly by the vaccines. That's the bottom line foundation. But of course, don't worry, it'll never happen to humans, will it? No, the only people that are protected by these things are the companies that sell them. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Steve Quayle.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host today. Joining us in the next segment will be Steve Quayle. I have an amazing story up on Infowars.com about fraud in the IRS. Say it ain't so. I mean, of all people, would you expect the IRS of fraud? I'm going to get to the details of that. But first, I want to continue with what I was talking about the previous segment about the Washington Post covering up for the failures of vaccines. They had to report this story, but they bury this stuff on the back pages. It is there. We need to shine the light on this story. We need to pass this around because they start out the story by saying, no, 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 understand that human vaccines are perfect. However, in farm animals, we can see that there are leaky vaccines. What do they mean by leaky vaccines? Well, this is a particular study that was published on Monday in PLOS Biology. These are researchers at Penn State University and people who are head of the Avian Viral Diseases Program at the Perbright Institute. They're looking at something called Merrick's disease. This is a herpes-like virus that infects chickens. They say it's highly contagious. Merrick's disease didn't used to be deadly. But now chicken farmers are seeing increasingly virulent strains in their broods. The people who did this study say they don't know whether the vaccines for the disease actually caused the virulent strains, the more virulent strains to develop. But according to their research, those more dangerous strains have developed, and it's the existence of the vaccine that allows them to continue existing. Now, let's talk about these perfect vaccines, MMR, for example. Ignoring the issues of the things that they put into it, like formaldehyde and mercury and those sorts of things, and the effects that it's going to have on you when you inject formaldehyde and mercury into your bloodstream or your child's bloodstream. We've talked about that at length. Understand that in terms of safety and effectiveness, in terms of leakiness, for example, we've had studies in New York in 2011. We've had the medical profession talk about the puzzlement of how patient zero in a measles outbreak had been twice vaccinated. And all of the four people who contacted measles from patient zero who had been twice vaccinated had also been vaccinated. How could that happen, they say. And yet we see these stories over and over and over again. Herd mentality is all they're selling us. There is no such thing as herd immunity. It's simply a herd mentality. You can see it in real herds of animals, but they won't admit that it happens with humans. Now, to the IRS fraud that I mentioned. The IRS used instant messaging system to hide internal communications. They had their own parallel messaging system. Imagine that. Where would they get an idea like that? From Hillary Clinton? No, this kind of corruption, the systemic gaming of the system, this hiding their criminal activity is systemic throughout the federal government. Here's yet another case of the IRS. This is reported by ATR.org. The IRS used a wholly separate instant messaging system that automatically deleted office communications according to documentation released by the House Oversight Committee on Monday. The system appears to have been purposely used by agency officials responsible for the targeting of conservative nonprofits in order to evade public scrutiny. Now, these are the same people. This is Lois Lerner's gang. Okay, these are the same people that were targeting Tea Party organizations. And we just reported earlier this last couple of days how they were assessing fines to donors to these organizations, giving them a 35% gift donation tax, which has been overturned by the Supreme Court, which hasn't been used since the 1980s. They say the office known as Office Communication Server, or OCS, was used by IRS officials, including many in the exempt organizations unit headed by Lois Lerner. They told us they destroyed the hard drives. We said, baloney, you haven't lost that stuff. You've got backup procedures. Then eventually they said, oh, yeah, that's right. And now we find out they had a completely parallel messaging system. This was intentional fraud, criminal activity by the IRS. Stay with us.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host, and we're going to be going to Steve Quayle for this hour. We have him on the line ready to join us. Before we do, I want to let you know that this week we have free shipping at all the products at InfoWarsLife.com. That's just through the end of this week. That's the end of July. We have free shipping on everything that's there. So it's a good time to stock up on stuff that frequently goes out of stock. Things like Survival Shield X2. For me, taking it every day is a no-brainer. I take it every morning. It's easy to do because it's in liquid form. I know that I need it because it's a vital supplement. We all need iodine. It used to be added to our food. Many of those foods have now had that removed. We need to make sure that we have sufficient iodine in our daily diet. It's one thing that you can pick up now while it's in stock, and of course, it's not going to go bad on your shelf. Survival Shield X2, you can get free shipping right now at InfoWarsLife.com. Take a look at the 400 reviews that are there. That's how I make my decisions when I buy other products. I look at the reviews on the website, and you can see there that over 99% of the people who have put those reviews on there, over 400 reviews, over 99% of the people say they would recommend it to friend or family. And we've been reading those testimonials that people have put up there, their comments. Pretty amazing what some of the people have said it has helped them to do, because you never know when you've got a nutritional deficiency how it's going to manifest itself in your life. That's one of the things we need to be aware of, is what the vital nutrients that we need are in our life, and take control of your health. You can do that at InfoWarsLife.com. And again, we have free shipping on everything at the store for the next 2 days through the end of the month. Joining us now is Steve Quayle. And of course, Steve is no stranger to the Alex Jones Show. He's on frequently with Alex Jones. We want to talk to him today. Steve, I'd like to talk to you about economics. And I know that you're very knowledgeable about gold and silver, about commodities. People can get information about that on your website. We've seen a massive collapse, Steve, and just this week in the Chinese stock market yet again. 8.5% decline. A lot of people have been wiped out because they bought this stuff on margin. They were told by the Chinese government that they were covered. They were going to be safe. They trusted the government, they said. And now they are ruined. When we look at precious metals like gold and silver, most people will get those as a store of value. We know that the price fluctuations that we see in those things are really the value of gold and silver versus this fiat currency that's floating around by the central banks. So it's really kind of a fluctuation in people's confidence in the fiat currency, not so much a fluctuation in the value of gold and silver. But tell us what you think is behind the fluctuations that we've seen in gold and silver in the last month or so.
Well, let's even take it. First of all, thanks for letting me come on and be, you know, on with you guys, and you know, best to Alex overseas. But what we're seeing is a total manipulation, but also a total separation from the physical manipulated price of the metals, David, versus the actual physical acquisition cost. In other words, the notional value of gold and silver versus the real value of gold and silver as expressed by what's available. Years ago, one of the things that troubled me was I would try and get the radio audience to understand that manipulation can only last so long. And the idea that people buy gold and silver is, number one, for capital preservation, but also at some point that we are going to see the necessity as more and more of Big Brother and what I call the cyborgian controllers of the planet take over. It's going to be very tough, as it says in the Bible, to buy, rent, sell, or trade, except you take the mark of the beast. Now, the war on cash is a war on individual rights. Everything, and I think that's critical, is even as every store begins to get, any place that takes a credit card will be asked to update into a point of sales terminal that's hooked into Big Brother. And for the people that may not understand this, is that the idea is to kill any financial freedom outside of what you are allowed or permission to buy. So what we're seeing is a paper market being totally manipulated. The Chinese said they had so far, you know, they had so less gold holdings than everybody knows that they have. One of my sources happens to be a Beijing gold trader who's talked about, and this is something that most people don't talk about concerning China's gold holdings, the great gold holdings of Genghis and Kublai Khan. The literally caves filled with gold. So the reason why the Chinese, I would say this, fudged a little, lied a lot on their gold holdings is because it was becoming too obvious that China, obviously in going for monetizing the renminbi or the yuan, they hadn't got everything they wanted to get up until that point. So here's how it works. Only in the United States can markets sell what they don't possess. It's called naked shorting. And with the federal government backing either Goldman Sachs and or J.P. Morgan, in other words, they can drive the price of gold or silver they don't possess down and make up the difference in people who short the market in cash. That'd be like a Texas cattleman selling, you know, what the going rate for cows is. Let's say it's, you know, $2,500, $2,000, whatever it is, and some guy coming on the scene saying he'll sell all his cattle for $1,000 a head. Well, that's not possible. And so when you say, okay, I'll take delivery, the guy that's basically shorting the sale of cattle says, well, I don't have it, but I'll make it up in cash. So what we're seeing is what I would say is a complete disconnect for the paper market versus the physical market. And that's why, you know, David, 100,000 gold eagles sold in July, and we're not actually through with the month of July until Friday. Silver eagles have been put on suspended or mint allocation. What most people don't understand is this. The availability of newly mined gold and silver is a function of the cost of producing it and getting it out of the mines. And what a lot of people do is they will buy up a lot of production in the futures market, especially the banks that loan the money to the mines, and the mines are forced to sell their future production at lower prices. Well, if you're a crooked bank, and boy, those two things go hand in hand, crooked and bank, then the idea is you're going to lock in the mine's production in order to make a killing as the prices rise. So that's kind of the simplest version I know. So people are acquiring it. Obviously, being in this business, meaning the metals business for 30-some years, I can tell you this, that the secondary market now is the prime source of physical metals. That means that as the mint shut down, whether it's the Royal Canadian Mint, the Perth Mint in Australia, the U.S. Mint, and basically they don't have anything to sell into the market, then you have to go into the secondary market. And the real prices of gold and the real prices of silver are up around $20-$22 an ounce for silver, and the real price of gold is somewhere between $1,200 and $1,300. That's just in the United States.
That's interesting, because I saw an article just a week or so ago talking about how 75% of the people who had got silver futures had cashed in their contracts to take physical possession of that silver. They said that was a very unusual move, as well as one buyer coming in with a purchase that was over $50 million. I know when we had the first crash of the Chinese market, silver trading in mint coins, as you pointed out, the short supply of those, I think people are using the decline in the price of these metals to accumulate them. And they're looking at gold, possibly, they say, falling to $1,050 per ounce if the Feds hike the rate today. That's a prediction by Christopher Woods. Do you think that this is what's happening with a lot of people, that they're actually trying to take possession of the short supply that's there, that even though this is falling for whatever reason, a lot of people are starting to move to accumulate their position at a lower price?
Absolutely. And the GATA guys, who have been doing an amazing job, and that's one of the most amazing groups of people in the Gold Anti-Trade Committee. They've been around for 20 years. The idea is this, is that somebody is driving the price down. There's only two people that can drive the prices down that big, and it would be a sovereign wealth fund of either China or Russia, but they're not. They're buyers of gold. So it has to be J.P. Morgan, and also it has to be Goldman Sachs. The huge position, I think you've probably commented on or are aware of, David, that J.P. Morgan controls 95% of the commodities market worldwide. So let me just throw something out. If you're buying metals and you own 95% of the futures contract, and whatever, however much money it's worth, you can say trillions. Remember, they can buy on margin at such incredible rates, and the federal government will give them the money to put up. Now, obviously, it's just printed cash. So if you were expecting a higher price in all commodities, and knowing that the dollar, by the very design of the Obama administration, they want to destroy the dollar, knowing that the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, are basically saying, we're going to have our own currency, our own clearing of international transfer of funds, and basically the same contempt now that is generated towards the United States due to, the current occupant in that place called Washington, a disgusting city. And again, I coined a term, and I think you'll appreciate this, political piranhas on the Potomac of self-indulgence.
Absolutely.
I can't put anything more into contempt, okay? We could talk sometime. You've probably done it. You can take the parallels of the fall of Rome. You can take the parallels of the fall of just about any nation in history, and we're just repeating not only their stupidity, but their greed, their avarice, and their basically perversion. And when I say that, I want people to understand something. The history that we are seeing now, look at the United States. 5 years ago, actually, I'm sorry, the year that Obama got elected, I made the statement, you mark my words, that the United States will become a hissing sound in the nostrils of the countries of the world.
Hang on right there, Steve. We've got to go to break. We're talking to Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, one of the original founders of the PrEP movement. He's been a talk radio host for over 20 years. Saying 20 years ago what he was just saying right now, that the Chinese and Russians are going to ultimately back their currencies in gold. When we come back, Steve, I'd like to talk to you about what you think about Texas's move with the gold depository.
Way up north, up to Alaska. Way up north, up to Alaska. North to Alaska. Go north, the rush is on.
North to Alaska, the gold rush. We're talking to Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. We've been talking about precious metals. What's going on? What's going on with the stock markets, with the economies across the world? Steve Quayle was the lone voice 20 years ago saying that the Chinese and Russians would ultimately back their currencies with gold. Today, we see that Texas is talking about repatriating their gold. Did anybody see that coming? They're talking about setting up a gold depository, a kind of Fort Knox, and allowing people to store their precious metals there and then essentially write checks against them or whatever. Steve, I haven't seen the details of this, but what do you think about this proposal? I like a lot of the stuff that I've seen from Governor Abbott here in Texas. He was just took office this year. He's had the courage to do things that other people wouldn't do. One of these things that he's stepped forward to do is to say, look, a lot of people are very concerned about the integrity of our fiat currency and the Federal Reserve. People are understanding what's going on. We see the shaky markets, and they want to get the physical gold back here in Texas, and they're taking steps to do that. What do you think about that?
Well, number one, I think your governor is a remarkable man. I think he literally is the, in my opinion, now, and obviously I'm in Montana, but I got to share this. When I see Governor Abbott's actions to defend and to put the well-being of Texans ahead of everything else, I'll tell you what, in my opinion, he's not only a governor, he's a statesman.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I'm telling you what, there's nobody, and I like your attorney general a lot, too. And why I say this is, you know, David, being in talk radio for all the years I have, and obviously talking about the subject matter, everything that we've talked about is that, you know, used to be conspiracy theorists. And I'll say this, if someone would simply look up the word conspiracy, they'll know that it's just two or more people agreeing, usually surreptitiously, to bring about a manipulated result. Obviously, people can call it the Hegelian dialectic, back to Texas wanting its gold. I think Governor Abbott and the obviously administration of Texas realizes that storing gold with the Fed isn't a guarantee of having gold stored with the Fed. What will happen is the Fed will have to go out and buy that gold on the open market, okay? Or deny the request. The idea of Texas, now this is something most people don't know, that obviously when the Hunts cornered the silver market, and that's not a really fair statement. They wanted to do the same thing with silver back in 79-80 that, you know, Governor Abbott wants to pretty much do now with gold. And number one, Texas's gold is Texas's gold. That's why I would recommend every Texan, seriously, if you have gold or silver deposited with a third-party depository, that you set up a self-directed IRA and get that money into your possession. As long as it's U.S. Gold or silver products and meet the criteria, you can do that. Why do I say that? Because obviously, I want everyone to think, and David, we've heard so much about cyber attacks. We've heard so much about, let's just say this, less than honorable banking practices. We've heard that the attacks on the infrastructure, the cyber infrastructure, are almost endless, and they just don't relent. So the point that I'm trying to make is this. If you simply look, and let me ask you this question. Obviously, I know that you practice what you preach, but if the banks went down on Friday, your credit and debit cards didn't work, and there was an announcement on Monday that we had sustained a cyber attack that is worse than anything in history, how long, and this is obviously rhetorical to you, how long do you think most people could last? If they're paying for a glass, and I don't drink coffee, but not that I have anything against it, I just never acquired a taste for it, but what's a cup of coffee cost now at Starbucks or whoever sells coffee? $3?
Oh, yeah, nobody is going to last very long because we've got this whole thing called in the supply chain where they deliver, it's just-in-time inventory. They deliver everything just in time. Nobody carries any deep inventory. None of the stores carry any deep inventory. So all the cities are going to be out of food in just a couple of days. That's the real danger that we have with everybody. Yeah.
But everybody's going to be out of any way to barter unless they have the precious metals. Here's a question I get asked so many times, and I don't know why so few address it. The idea of anybody that believes in freedom, the idea of those who would be, quote, red listers, those who would be even blue listers, the medium of exchange that has stood the test of time and tyranny has always been the precious metals. It didn't matter if it was Vietnam during the war, Germany prior to that. What's happening now is a virtual world of currency, Bitcoin and all of its clones,
Yes.
What, if you look at that, it is contrary to even basically you can't, if you can't touch it, you don't own it.
That's right, because if the web goes down, if they take down the internet, you can't get it, those cyber currencies. Even though we're seeing a lot of movement and talk about blockchain, even though we reported yesterday that NASDAQ is going to start recording all transactions this fall in blockchain, you still won't be able to get to your cashless cash. You will be cashless. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Steve Quayle.
The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. Today we're talking to Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. No stranger to many in the prepping industry. He was one of the first radio hosts to get into educating people about what they needed to prepare. And we were talking about that in the last segment. What happens if the grid goes down? What happens to your cash if you have a cashless society? Even if you have it in a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, can you get to that? And then even more importantly, do you have the things at home that you need to survive? We have now in stock, and of course, we sell these products at InfoWarsLife.com. I believe Steve also sells X2 Nascent Iodine. Survival Shield is now in stock. You need to stock up on these things. You need to prepare while you can, while it's in stock, while the grid is not down. Prepare on the things that you need for your health, for your family. Some of that can be nutrients that you have, things that are going to protect your health, that are going to be used to fight infection. But also look to how you can prepare for yourself in terms of growing some of your own food. It's not just stockpiling stuff, but it's also growing your own food. But Steve, your comments about iodine, I know you carry it there at your website as well.
Yes, I do, and I got to share something with everybody. I'll give someone the most important word on why they need Survival Shield right now. It's called Fukushima. What is astonishing to me is the, if you look at the history of radiation, I used to write books on this and stuff, so let me just give it to everyone simply. The total lies about the radiation that is coming out of Fukushima, even plutonium, a quick Wikipedia search on plutonium will show the half-life of that, and it's probably one of the most devastating poisons in the world. Now, I'm talking about plutonium, not polonium. When we're talking about cesium-137, strontium-90, and all of the radioactive isotopes that are left over after either a nuclear weapons detonation or also a nuclear meltdown, David, the greatest tragedy in retrospect will be when people look back and see the mass media's complicity in covering up what will turn into a pretty close to, not extinction level, but a multi-hundred million people dying. Radiation is cumulative, so I will tell everyone, especially with children, especially if you live on the West Coast, I know that you guys sell out of Survival Shield, you know, from time to time, but this is the most critical time, please, to get it, Survival Shield, because the first thing that you know, the radioactivity will do is begin to mess with kids and their thyroid. Mm-hmm, and in essence, that's and childhood cancers now up and down the West Coast. That's another cover up, as long, and also abortion. When I say this, miscarriage. I'm sorry, I was looking for a word. Miscarriages due to so many people being exposed to this. Now let's talk about this too. It is important that people understand, and I want to go back to this. Radiation is cumulative. In Billings, Montana, we've got some of the highest radiation that can only be related to the jet stream. People need to find the sites on the internet that basically basically monitor that stuff in real time. But again, Survival Shield X2 is an absolute must for anybody, by the way, that not only lives on the West Coast, but across the country. All you got to do is watch the weather patterns, and I'm horrified. I'm disgusted. I'll use anger instead of another word, at the complete lack of integrity. I'd say this. I say this, and this is no apology to anybody. Mass media is complicit in mass murder by not covering Fukushima.
Oh, absolutely. Remember. And we were talking about this, Steve. We've had the federal government go out and buy millions of doses of iodine because they wanted to be protected against the contingency of a massive nuclear catastrophe. But of course, what we see with Fukushima is this continuous ongoing. It's like this dripping faucet filling up the bucket. It's not like somebody taking the bucket and just throwing it at you. And it's a kind of iodine that's not a healthy form of iodine. They simply give you that iodine so that your thyroid will take it up quickly so that it doesn't absorb the radioactive cesium and other elements that would damage and your thyroid that would give you cancer. So it's a way of blocking further absorption of these other harmful elements. So it's an emergency preparation. But you need this, you need a good iodine to protect your health. And if you take it on a regular basis, then you're protected from this continual leaking of radiation that is not going away, that keeps coming from Fukushima, as you point out. It's cumulative. It doesn't like you can forget what you, your body is still storing what it got last week, last year, 3 years ago.
It's critical, and iodine is so it's a necessity in the human metabolism. I think I heard in the background Alex talking that obviously so many foods that used to be iodine, but again, it's the form of iodine that's critical. So I would encourage everyone, and I don't know right offhand, David, I can't think right now because I'm going 8,000 miles an hour, but there's a specific network that will show you the radiation across the country by stations that monitor it, and I'll send that to you, and you can get it up on your website. But let's talk about, again, the lies that have been broadcast by mainstream media, the complicity in the non-covering of, I would say, extinction level or semi-extinction level events. What makes anybody think that they will ever hear the truth in mainstream media? Okay, but I still have people that call me and say, well, I watch Fox. Even my own son, my eldest son watches Fox. And I said, that's like basically, you got a choice. You got a choice between warm vomit, you know, red and red hot vomit. Okay. And what you're just taking is lukewarm vomit. But at the end of the day, you still got vomit. Okay.
Yeah.
It's someone else. And I'm sorry, but I'm trying, David, to fight for words that will have enough meaning to shock what I would say those who are so bound from being able to really get this, to shock them into recognize it. The most disgusting thing for most people, of course, unless you were in Rome during the binge cycle, that also led to their destruction. When a nation becomes totally self-absorbed, and for the record, I'm saying this, look at this nation that's become selfie-oriented. I watched a guy, you know, and I'm sure, you know, I live in Montana, you guys live in Texas, so you see this all the time, but people just totally, how should I say this, not even in a reality-based world, just going through life, pressing on their cell phones, or driving on their cell phones, chatting, chitting, and whatever else they're doing on their cell phones, Twitter, flitter, flutter. Alex and I, and I don't think people realize what we were trying to tell people years ago when Marcus Wolf was hired by, in those days, I believe it was FEMA, to basically set up Department of Homeland Security. This was the, and setting up Facebook, okay? Isn't it fascinating that now we have Facebook being pretty much Skynet? I think it just surpassed the capitalization for Google. And Alex and I were warning people. Do you remember those days? Warning people.
Oh, yeah.
This is a self-building intelligence dossier.
Well, Steve, I think it's a very broad base where they did it. If you remember, the first reality TV program that was out there was called Big Brother. It was very popular in the UK. It came over here. And I think that kind of prepared this generation, this younger generation, to see that if they were constantly exposing their life to other people, making their life an open book, having cameras everywhere, they're setting them up for this kind of a selfie mentality, they could become a celebrity, at least at the very least, with their circle of friends on Facebook or whatever. I think that has really driven this whole mentality, starting with these reality shows that we see rampant. You're talking about the liberal media and how they're complicit in covering up what's going on with Fukushima. I was talking earlier about Camille Paglia. She's a liberal feminist. She's pro-abortion, and she was absolutely outraged at how the liberal media has covered up these videos about Planned Parenthood selling body parts, how they're not covering that. She wants to distance herself from that. I mean, she's an honest liberal. I mean, we disagree with her on the fundamental issue, but she's outraged that they would cover. She's outraged about what has been exposed, and she's outraged about the cover-up. And so when I look at this, one of the things that is really amazing to me is how not even the Pope has talked about this. We've had people in talk radio talking about it. We've had some Republicans now talking about it. Of course, Mitch McConnell and John Boehner are shutting down bills to try to deal with that. But even the Pope, who has built the Catholic Church, has been so focused on the issue of abortion and on family. He is totally ignoring this issue and focusing on world government, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's critical that people understand this, that for the first time in history, he's going to be coming to the United States to address what? The United Nations, and he's going to be addressing the U.S. Congress on September 24th. What's astounding to me and astonishing is his statements concerning a one-world government, a one-world currency, currency redistribution, which, by the way, is the Marxist platform. And he's also talking about that basically all roads lead to heaven. Now, obviously, the Catholic Church has been a Christian church and for the centuries that it's been, let's just say this, in existence. But now there's something else happening, and I want to tell people, if you want to know where this thing's going, Tom Horn, and I don't know if you guys have ever had him on, but he wrote a book called Exo Vaticana. Tom Horn and Chris Putnam stated before the previous Pope resigned that he was going to resign. Well, they were called from every world newspaper, and everybody wanted to know how they knew that. It was based on Vatican prophecies, not Protestant propaganda, okay? I've heard that. Well, that's all Protestant propaganda. It's Catholicism in its prophetic sense. Now we've got, basically, coming before our eyes, just in September, we've got a rabbi saying that the Messiah is coming, I think September 12th, and that he'll be at the end. Now, again, Jesus said this. This is important for Christians to understand. Jesus said, I came, you received me not, but another will come claiming to be me, and him you will receive. So, again, to make it easy for everybody, Antichrist before Jesus Christ, okay?
Yes.
Then we hear about the Shemitah year and the seven-year cycles. Those end on September 13th. 5776 is the year of Lucifer, Anno Lucis. The UN resolution for Palestine to become a state, September 15th. Jade Helm, which began on July 15th, supposedly ends on September 15th. That's not true. It will be ongoing from this point forward, just not called by that. As you know, David, there's so many operations. There's so many things going on. And what people don't understand, and this is important, these guys have war gaming. It's like the old movie War Games, but that was set more in a nuclear environment. They have algorithms that are figuring out, for instance, when you and I go and talk on Talk Radio, Alex, whoever, they're going to take a glossary of terms. They're going to check every single email. They're building, if you will, a artificially monitored intelligence database that will begin to tweak all of their equations, garbage in, garbage out, death in, death out. So the fact that CERN, that will be firing at full power on September 23rd, 24th. It's almost like September, which, by the way, is the ninth month. Remember, everybody, 9/11, Madonna's concert comes up 9/23. And it's the fascinating thing that all of the events that have happened in September are now scheduled. And this is like the culmination of seven-year cycles. So I would say this. People have a limited time to get. There's already, and you know, I was one of the founders of the survival movement, the survival food preppers movement, whatever you want to call it. And if 400 people, I mean, surely there are 400 people listening to this show decide, you know, I better get a year's worth of food. There are so few, quote, prep shops, and I know your sponsor, you know, they can't handle it because the manufacturers, for instance, Mountain House, mm-hmm. and also Alpineer, and for the record, I was one of Alpineer's very first retail clients. The point being is that there's just no production. Now when you take manipulated warfare, weather warfare, and you see Fukushima killing pretty much the Pacific Ocean, when you see all of the drought and the famine being initiated, and that's weather warfare, simply this, people will be starved into FEMA camps. And going back to what we talked about, when their credit cards don't work, when their debit cards don't work, and we're informed, well, guess what? My guess is that when we're informed there's been a cyber attack upon the banking system and everybody's accounts get emptied, that basically the people who hired the cyber attacks will end up with all the money, okay? So if we're going to be raped, we're going to be pillaged, and we're going to be plundered. And I coined a term, a little statement, rape, pillage, and plunder. They're taking the United States under.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we just had a report today about how the Republicans are pushing a bill for Obama to take away people's passports without charging them with anything, without finding them guilty of a crime. When people look at the NDAA and they had indefinite detention by the military without you being charged or found guilty, understand that if they're going to take away your passport, if they're going to put you on a no-fly list and they're not going to tell you about it, it's going to be a secret judicial procedure, that is essentially an incremental enactment of the NDAA. If they start taking away people's passports, first you stop them from getting out of the border, and then all you have to do is just start making the net a little smaller each time. Steve, we had Wesley Clark talking about how people who are disloyal to the government, who criticize the government, he says, yeah, that's their right, but we locked people up for that in World War II, and we can lock people up for that now. We need to do that before people get violent. If we even see a tendency where we think at some point in the future they might become someone we define as a radical, if we think that they might become violent, that's going to be justification for us to, quote-unquote, in his words, segregate people, to take them out of society. At the same time, we got Mike McCall putting out a bill that would, it's 2899, I believe is the number, if I remember that correctly, that would essentially put FEMA in charge of identifying people who are potentially violent radicals, propagandizing them, funding grants. And when you got Wesley Clark talking about segregating people and you got FEMA being given grants to identify people pre-crime, I think we all ought to be very concerned. We can see the handwriting on the wall, can't we, Steve?
Yep, and let me share this. What we're watching is the charge de fer and the order of the day pre-crime, but also of what I think most people had better realize this. If they fit into those categories, what they're doing is building a case for your execution,
yes.
My execution.
Yes.
People may get, I won't say that word, they may get angry at me, but that's the bottom line, okay? By the way, David, the website, thanks, Stefan, www.netc, N-E-T-C, as in Charlie.com. If you look at it, I don't know if you can pull it up right now or they can put it up on the screen for you, the entire West Coast has incredibly high readings. They must, people, you must get nascent iodine. But if you look at
right
the
there.
East Coast, and then you look across Texas.
Hang on, Steve, we got to take a break. We're going to be right back. Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host, and we have with us Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. We've been talking about a wide variety of issues. Just before the break, we were talking about Jade Helm, about the things that we're concerned about, the growing trend. It's just part of a trend. This is part of an increasing trend that we see in terms of mastering the human domain, geospatial intelligence, human domain analytics, activity-based intelligence. Steve, there was a report that came out in June, visualizing the tactical ground battlefield in the year 2050. This is by the U.S. Army Research Lab. And I just want to tell people and get your reactions, some of the targets, some of the topics that are here about micro-targeting of individuals. They're not talking about regions. They're not talking about buildings or vehicles are talking about individuals that they want to target. So they have to map you out in order to do that. That's what this is all about. They want to use misinformation as a weapon. That's why they have special forces involved, because special forces specialize in unconventional warfare. That is using information, misinformation as a weapon. Cognitive modeling of the opponent, automated decision making, where they take all this information that they have, put it into the computer, use AI to finger the targets that they have, and then take action with them, micro targeting them. This is where this is all headed. And when you look at the weapons that they're working on, what they think they're going to have in a couple of decades, we've got robots everywhere, killer robots who are going to take that information and make their decisions on it. Swarms of robots, automated superhumans who have implants in them, who have been genetically modified. Steve, this is like something out of the Book of Revelations, isn't it?
It is, and I detailed this, and again, I detailed it in Genetic Armageddon, and that was written 15 years ago. Then I just put out my new book, Xenogenesis, Changing Men into Monsters. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that what's important for people to understand, David, and this is really critical, is that the selective targeting, we've already seen Andrew Breitbart murdered that way, and I don't make any apologies for that. We've already seen Tom Clancy murdered that way. We have the individual.
Don't forget Michael Hastings, too.
Yes, forgive me, Michael Hastings. Mm-hmm. And the idea of 20 years ago, Frank Dukes, D-U-X, but pronounced Dukes, I interviewed him on talk radio. He was Bill Casey's basically, Bill Casey, Central Intelligence Agency director at the time, was sent to clean up messes, okay? And Frank Dukes is a famous, famous, famous martial artist, probably the most famous martial artist in the world, though people probably don't know who he is. He wrote the book Secret Man. On my radio program 20 years ago, he said that they had the technology to identify in a stadium full of people from outer space individual thermal signatures and target those thermal signatures. Now, they just announced, I think, on the London Daily Mail that they said, well, they've just recently come up with a way of thermal fingerprinting in the dark. That's such nonsense. Yeah. That technology's been around forever. So when you talk about micro-targeting, outside of the grace of God, the supernatural protection of God, basically, there is no way there's nowhere to run at some point in the future. So that basically mandates that we all, number one, get our hearts right with Jesus, those of us who are Christians, and those who aren't Christians that say, I don't want to hear that talk. You better understand the only person that ever told us about all this stuff happening, one world government, one world political body, one world currency, one world religion, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Interestingly enough, the Terminator himself just called for a one-world religion. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't see that he was calling for. But it concerns me to see the Pope calling for one-world government. So we got this Nazi sympathizer, Schwarzenegger, calling for one-world religion. And then we got the Pope calling for one-world government. That's all the time we've got. Thank you for joining us, Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. Join us tonight at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern for the Nightly News.